now Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
From the Western Estates Homeowners Association, the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, we're very pleased to have on our program right now is Bobby Dooley, along with her husband Steve, who also is a member of their homeowners board. And you were mentioning trying to put the election behind you. I know that you were a Kerry supporter, but you're moving on, right?
Yes, I think the best thing for a lot of us to do, and I'm thinking good thoughts, positive thoughts about our country, and I'm just trying to really trying to put the election out of my mind. And but I was thinking about our boys. Justin, Seth, and Dylan are going to be really gone in a few years. This is Justin's senior year.
Yeah, I know. Our eldest is already his first year in college.
You know, and it seems like such a short time ago that they were little people. And I do have a natural instinct as a mother, so I want to work with young people.
Yeah, it's nice being around the kids.
It really is. And I have, I guess you could say, a unique relationship with a lot of the kids in our neighborhood. In a lot of ways, they see me as, I suppose they see Steve and I as just another one of them, because we're very down to earth. We talk to kids on their level. We know a lot about their music, a lot of the bands, like Creed. We know Creed. We know Stone Temple Pilots.
I was going to say Stone Temple Pilots.
We know those groups.
Tell them about when we have the kids over.
Is that Steve?
Yeah.
How you doing, Phil?
Phil, I wanted to get to what Steve just reminded me about. I think what is so important for the kids is that they feel as if they belong.
Absolutely.
And that they aren't ostracized from the mainstream. And you don't like to see a kid make choices that will ultimately get them ridiculed or laughed at.
Well, I agree. No kid wants to be laughed at, that's for sure. Especially that time in your life.
It is true. And Justin, who's my eldest, was home the other night with some of the kids. And there were, I don't know, there were three or four other boys and girls that he knows from school, and one or two were playing a video game and so on. But I did get to talking with one of the girls. And she was telling me that she's taking these CCD classes. Are you familiar?
Yeah, she's studying to be Catholic. It's like Catholic education.
Yes, because the kids go to a public school. Well, I heard that, and I did. I sort of looked at her, and I looked at Steve, and I gave him one of these looks, and I can tell he knows what I'm thinking.
I just shook my head, you know.
And I looked at her, and I said, "Why do you want to be Catholic?" And here's why I asked that, Phil. It doesn't make sense that a teenager, someone who's in the midst of emerging as an adult, and as I just said, is trying to fit in, to choose a religion that, I guess, lets you in for a little bit of mockery.
Well, everyone runs the risk of being mocked for their religious beliefs.
But the Catholic religion has, I guess, I think there's a little bit more opportunity. I'll give you an example, and this is what I said to Rebecca. The Pope, who is the man that is in charge of the Catholics, is often seen in public wearing this hat. Steve?
Oh my God!
Every time you see it, you can't turn away. You can't turn away because you don't want to offend a Catholic. But it's,
you're talking about his mitre? You mean the big?
I don't know what it's called. Is that it?
It's the mitre.
Yeah, it's called a mitre.
Well, here's my point. Since the boys are getting older, I can see a day when they won't be here, and I'm feeling a little anxiety about that, and I want so very much to stay involved with young people. So I like it when the kids come over, and I want to maybe start a discussion group at our home. And when this subject came up...
You want to help them.
Well, you're trying to dissuade this girl from becoming Catholic because you have some problem with the philosophy.
No, I want to make that clear. I don't have a problem with anyone's religion. I think all religions are fine if that's what you personally choose. It's simply that the Catholic offers a wider opportunity for a young person to be ridiculed. And
well, I don't think that's entirely fair.
Well, Phil, you have a religion.
She's chosen this of her own volition.
But you have a religion that has as its leader a man who comes out in this hat. And Steve and I were watching. We saw a special on television. I forget what it was, but it was the Pope, and he was at a
concentration camp.
It was about concentration camps, which is a horrible thing. And here is this man in the middle of this concentration camp where so many people died, and he has on this hat that looks just ridiculous.
But it is the traditional hat that the Pope wears, and I suppose it's a funny-looking hat.
But it lets a young person in for ridicule. And I want to stay involved with the kids. As my boys grow older, I want to get really into influencing young people. And I told her, I said, you don't want to... You want to think a little bit about...
Well, did you tell her don't be a Catholic because the Pope wears a funny hat?
No, I did. Obviously not. But I said... No, Steve, what I said was, you're going to be ridiculed. And one of the things people will say is, look at that, you know, hat that he wears.
Well, the Pope wears a funny hat has been the object of...
No, I know. A lot of jokes.
Yeah, a lot of jokes.
But... This is for a young person, so very serious. If it was an adult, I wouldn't say anything. But because I'm a mother, and because I'm so very attuned to young people, you know, that I would say this, and I just want to stay involved with young kids. And this was a great opportunity to say to her, you're going to be... He was wearing this hat, at a concentration camp.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley join us here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're talking about the aftermath, really not so much of the election, but just kind of putting the election behind. And you're really talking about something a little more primal, Bobby, about your boys moving out and how you want to stay involved with kids. Now, this is a young lady who is she's a high school student?
Yes, she's one of Justin's classmates, yeah.
She's a senior?
Yes.
All right, so she's pretty close to being an adult, and she's going...
But she still is not technically an adult. And I said to her that,
Hold on for a minute. What? Are you saying something to me? What am I hearing on the air here other than Bobby?
I don't hear anything. So.
No, I heard something in my headphones. You got a pot open or something, man. Go ahead.
Well, what I was saying was that this young lady is going to be making a decision that will affect her for the rest of her life. And she needs an adult.
Well, what about her parents? What about the people that will influence her ultimately?
Well, that's the problem, Mr. Henry. Her parents are people that we don't have a high level of confidence in because they are people that they don't live in our community.
They don't live in the gated community that we live in. They live outside of our gates.
Do they live in an adjoining community?
They live in a non-gated area, and that's fine, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not a snob. But I don't know if when you live in an area that... isn't gated, okay, and you're living in this area that isn't gated, what kind of control do you really have and influence do you have over your children? So, to communicate this, you know, I said...
You brought up the Pope's hat, and...
Well, you're trying to make it sound juvenile, and...
Well, I'm not. I don't want it to sound juvenile. But you're saying in order to get onto this young lady's level, this young girl's level...
I said to her, look at the hat that this man wears, and you want to be Catholic. And these are CCD classes. They are Catholic educated.
No, I know what they are, and you know, I was raised Catholic. I know, because I was raised Catholic, I never did a CCD class. I just went to school with it, but it is for people who are studying to be Catholics. Don't you think this is a little like making fun of the yarmulke that Jewish people wear?
No, I really don't. I really don't. No.
That's the same thing, Mr. Henry.
Why?
Go ahead.
Because we're used to seeing that. Everyone wears it. All of the Jewish people wear it on holidays. You don't see Catholics wearing this sort of... It's almost as if he's rolled up cardboard, you know, and put it on his head, and you don't see a lot of Catholics doing that. I'm concerned that a young girl emerging... living at a time in her life where ridicule from her fellows is so deeply felt, is making a terribly wrong decision by joining this religion where the man who is in charge of the religion has a hat that, you know, people look at and say, you know...
What's up with that?
You know, yeah, what's up with that? You know, what's up with your hat? So, and the other thing, Phil, that I...
Do you understand, the two of you, how kind of silly this sounds?
Well, Phil, we're not trying to...
But no, it sounds a little silly. It sounds like...
What we're doing is... Phil, I've been a mother for 18 years. I have three boys that are going to be going out into the world. I am good at what I do. Let me just say it. I'm good at what I do. I'm a mother. And I know what is right for a young person, what isn't. And the only way you can talk to a young girl who's choosing to be a Catholic is just lay it out for her. they're going to make fun of you because this guy's got this hat. And Steve,
yeah, the guy got a funny hat, and the girl's going to be ridiculed about it and everything else.
So that's the point that I'm trying to drive home here.
I admire you for wanting to stay involved with young people. I admire you for wanting to still have influence and having discussion groups. I don't know that dissuading someone from becoming a Catholic because the Pope goes out in public wearing this unorthodox hat, and therefore she will be the subject and the object of ridicule by her fellows, is the best way to discount her choice of Catholicism, is all I'm saying. 1-800-449-8686 on the Phil Henry Show tonight, as we are joined by Bobby and Steve Dooley of the Western States Homeowners Association. And on Bobby talking with one of the classmates of her son, Justin, who is taking Catholic education classes, they feel she's making a mistake because of the hat. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Won't float without pontoons.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, Bobby Dooley joins us.
Phil, I wanted to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
I hope you don't mind, but I'm doing a little soaking in a tub right now. Steve and I got back from the gym, and I pulled a muscle, and I'm just trying to work some of the... I'm trying to get a little bit the muscles oxygenated, so if you hear our the jets in our pool... going. I hope you don't mind.
I can hear a little splashing, but it's not too distracting. I hope you're okay.
You know, I think I'm all right, but I did pull a muscle, and I've had a sort of an aggravated problem with this calf muscle of mine, and so I'm just soaking a little bit.
All right. Before we take some phone calls, you made a comment about young people not wanting to be ridiculed, and that's why you've talked to this young girl who is a friend of your son's, and the kids come over to your house.
That is correct, yeah.
And that's great. And you talked to her, and she says she's studying to be Catholic, and you said, well, the Pope and this hat that he wears will get you a lot of ridicule.
Let me put it in a simpler way. Young women, especially, are devastated if on the night of a big date, they look in the mirror and they find a blemish on their face, a pimple.
Okay.
You would never get them out of the house unless you could do something about that pimple. The Pope...
I don't think it shows. He's like a pimple, is he?
The Pope is like having a pimple in a way. Not so much the Pope, but the hat that he has is like, it really is like an enormous pimple that you look at and you go, my God. And so why would she want to walk around saying, hi, I'm Catholic, when she knows the immediate response is going to be, are you really a member of that religion where the man who is the man... the man who is in charge of everything, wears a cardboard hat. And this is why it's so important for us to stay in touch with our children.
All right. The pimple analogy is interesting. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley. Here's Helen. Helen, hi. You're on with Bobby Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I called in with a comment, and
this is
the first time I've ever called a radio talk show. Mm-hmm. But I was so infuriated listening to this woman on. I'm going to talk now, and you're not going to interrupt.
No, I'm not listening.
You're not going to interrupt me because I'm going to talk.
I'm not interrupting you. I'm listening to you.
Okay, I am so infuriated that this woman is talking about the Pope's hat and that. She is such a friend of the teenagers in the area that she is going to advise these children not to go to CCD, and that they could be ridiculed for being Catholic. She really, and even though this girl doesn't quite live in the right community gated area like she does, sitting in her swimming pool, working out in her gym, even though she says she's not a snob. Oh, God. Where did you ever find this lady?
Helen, thank you very much for your comment.
I mean, she is on your radio station talking like she's an advocate for children.
Well, are you addressing your comment to me, Helen? Are you addressing your comment to me or to the caller?
Well,
Well, let me help her out, Phil.
Woman.
Thank you for your comment, Helen, but let me help you with your comments.
No, you know, I don't even want to hear your rhetoric.
I am not a snob.
That you are completely
Are you Catholic?
And I don't want to waste any time. Thank you.
Thank you for being so open.
Well, Helen, this is Phil Henry. You still there?
Yes.
Okay. It isn't quite fair for you to come up on the air, talk over everybody, and then say, I don't want to hear anything.
Oh, right? Okay.
If you call in to engage somebody...
Well, Phil, I don't want to talk to her. She's obviously a Catholic, and they're very close-minded.
Well, I got her to stay on the line.
She's Catholic.
Are you Catholic?
Of course I'm Catholic.
Well, those people,
like,
are they're the most narrow-minded.
Hundreds of millions of other people.
They're the most narrow-minded people in the world.
Well, see, this woman is just obviously anti-Catholic.
Let's talk about the concentration. Well, what was the Pope's part in the concentration camps? Can we talk about that?
Wait a minute. Let's not.
When you get on that, they don't want to talk about it.
Well, we've heard it for 60 years.
Well,
I think we've heard enough of it.
Don't you think that a young lady who is thinking about joining a religion that thinks it's funny to wear rolled-up cardboard on their head should be advised against that?
Whatever meaning that has to the religion that her parents are guiding her through is none of your business to advise
trying to let a young woman know that by becoming Catholic, people will accuse her of... Accuse her of having helped put Jews into ovens. And I don't want...
Oh, come on. I was raised Catholic.
Never heard of that one.
Well, you're hearing it now, Helen.
That is your little narrow opinion.
Well, it happens to be in history books. But anyway,
I'm done. Oh, good. I'm done, too. Thank you.
Well, you go back to your church or whatever you do.
All right. Now, look. I want to make sure that this doesn't turn into some Catholic bashing.
All I said was the Pope has rolled up cardboard on his head. Beware.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Joan. Joan, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
I'm also incensed at listening to this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could please stop with the because you're trying to override what I'm going to say.
I'm certainly not. I'm listening
to you. You think that you are good at what you do. You're a mother.
Yes,
there are
millions
of mothers out there. My dear,
I'm not all good at what they do, though.
With your children is that you are afraid of growing old. And as far as saying...
Who isn't? Who isn't? I mean...
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm embracing every
Why don't you pull the other one and see if it's real? Why don't you pull the other one and see if it's real?
But you know something? You are a Catholic basher, and yes, I am Catholic, and yes, I grew up, went to Catholic school, and I have never
Best friends are Catholic.
You were ridiculing that girl's parents because they didn't live in the gated community.
It wasn't ridicule. I'm
liberal.
Suspect.
I can understand why you voted for Kerry, but dear, just like Kerry, you will go down the drain because let me tell you,
Kerry's Catholic, and I voted for him. I don't have any problem with that.
See the light because their mother is demented.
Well, Kerry's Catholic, and I voted for him, so I don't have a problem with
Catholic. Well, I think that you to go around to try to influence a child and say that you're going to be. Please stop that.
I'm listening to you.
That is so juvenile.
I'm listening to you, my God. You want to dictate the term?
Do you believe in God? Do you even
believe in God? Do I believe
in God?
In the concept of God or in what? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I know what you are trying to influence.
I think it's wrong for a girl to join a religion with a rolled up cardboard head.
Hold on, ladies. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back with Joan and Bobby.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby and Steve Dooley joined me, and I'm going to go back to a caller that's holding on. I just wanted to make a point, and I wanted to ask this question. Are you a Catholic basher? Do you hate Catholics?
So I won't even dignify that with a response.
The question's been asked.
I won't dignify it with a response. Some of my very best friends are Catholic. I have nothing against the Catholic faith. I think it is very cruel for the man who is in charge of all the Catholics to get up in the morning, roll up some cardboard and put it on his head and look at some people, I don't know who he has there, bishops and cardinals, and say, get me, and then go out there and as if he's supposed to be taken seriously. I think it's really...
The Pope's wearing that hat as a gag.
Well, I hardly think it's serious. And when you have a young girl who is very conscious of every pimple and every zit, joining a religion where the Pope's hat sits on his head like a large pustule zit,
Oh, come on, will ya?
But that is true, and these we talk about.
And I'm a mother, and I think I know young people. I'm very with it. A lot of the young people like coming over here because I know all the current groups that they listen to on the radio.
That's fine. I just wanted to clarify the Catholic bashing. Joan? Joan's not there. Joan,
no,
are you there?
I am.
All right. Go ahead, ma'am, with your comment.
Okay. Look, we're all entitled we are all entitled. Could you stop that again? You are so juvenile.
Well, you are really Hitler,
yes,
aren't you?
I can understand why the kids want to come over, because you know all the hot fans. That is going to make you a good mother. You know,
do you know who Creed is?
I want you to know something. The Pope is not the man that's in charge of Catholics. The Pope is the living symbol of Christ, and that's what Catholics believe.
Well, how dare he wear a stupid hat?
Definitely a bigot.
A bigot.
For you to say some of my best friends are Catholic, right then and there, you have just.
Well, look. Let me ask you this:
You are
Jesus
not even worth talking anymore?
You know, Joe, when I saw Jesus on the cross, I didn't see him wearing a rolled-up hat. Well, that's all you're doing. That's all you're doing. You won't give me a chance.
You know what?
I'm soaking.
I listened.
Do you know who Korn is?
On the radio for a very long time.
Do you know who Korn is? No, you don't.
It's a cruel thing to get up and roll a piece of cardboard on his head. That's as much as you know. You are.
Well, then why does he do that? All right.
You are somebody that's afraid of getting old. That's why you want young children around you.
Well, who isn't?
And I just hope that that young lady's CCB training will wisen her up to somebody like you.
I didn't see Jesus hanging off of a cross wearing a rolled up cardboard on his head.
You have a lot of problems, and
I think it mocks Jesus.
You're all right, look, ladies, I got to intercede. I got to jump in here for a minute because I can't really hear what anybody's saying.
Phil, I just wanted to say, if she says that
Jesus
is the one...
You know, the water is splashing in my ear.
You know,
that the splashing is very distracting, Ms. Dooley.
I apologize for that. But I think to say that the Pope is Jesus, I didn't see Jesus rolling up cardboard and sticking it on his head before they nailed him up. Did you? No.
That is the most ludicrous thing that...
Oh, my God, you're the one...
You are not even an intelligent woman.
How dare you say that that man...
How dare you say...
You said that he represents Jesus.
...millions of Catholics by saying that the person that we look to as the living Christ is someone that's a pimple, a pustule... I think...
No, I said the hat was. Oh, my God, she doesn't even listen. She doesn't listen. I said the hat was, not him.
Take it easy, Joe.
I think getting older, I think, has affected your memory, because I didn't...
All right, look it.
No.
Jesus didn't shake like a bowl of Jell-O like the Pope does every time he's on TV.
Now, you're going to tell me that that's not Catholic bashing?
It certainly is not
a bigot? That this woman is not a vicious, vile individual?
Oh, my God. You'd think you were black the way you're going on. I'm talking about...
Look,
right then and there!
You know, Joan...
Right then and there!
I know you'd love to be African-American, but you're not. You're white, and you're just regular like everyone else.
You've confirmed everything that I thought about you. Everything. You've confirmed it.
Because I made fun of a man's hat, you're going on and on.
No! What you
do? You are really small.
You are a bigot.
Okay, I think we've gone as far as we can here. Because
no, I'm going to be heard. And
Ms. Dooley, we've gone as far as
we
can.
I think we've heard enough.
I'm going to be heard. I'm the mother of three boys, and the kids know me. And this woman doesn't even know who Corn is, do you? Who's Corn?
I can just say that you are an embarrassment to womanhood, to motherhood.
Well, then the Pope should stop rolling up cardboard, sticking it on his head, and going, "Hi, I'm Jesus." How insulting is that?
He doesn't say, "Hi, I'm Jesus." He's a humble man. He is a...
humble? Going out with a big cardboard hat? That's someone who is the... Next thing you know, it's a lampshade. Have you thought about that? No.
All right, Joan.
It doesn't even make sense.
All right, Joan, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-86...
Still, you can't tell me that hat doesn't look like a table setting at the Velvet Turtle. I mean, I have been...
Okay, look it. The point of your thing is this girl, and I follow you that far. Kids don't want to be ridiculed. I don't think anyone becomes a Catholic thinking about the hat the Pope wears.
Well, I think they should.
Well, I look at my wife's a longtime Catholic, very devout Catholic. I don't think it's bugging her. You know.
Does she have Protestant friends?
Protestant friends?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of them.
I can tell you that behind her back, they go, "Oh my God, get her with that guy with the hat."
All right, let me go over here to Susan on the Phil Henry Show. Susan, go ahead.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
First time caller. Love your show.
Thank you, ma'am.
When I heard the water in the background, and after I heard her conversation, I don't even know what your name is, but I was thinking you ought to drown yourself to the views that you've
listen
got.
To the violence of your callers. Listen to the
how
violence.
How shallow are you?
I'm not
you
shallow.
Don't talk about the kind of hat he wears. What do you think about Jews who wear yarmulkes?
I think
what
that's think fine. We're used to it. We're used to it.
Who have rings and hair coming down.
There's nothing
you
wrong
know,
with
what
it.
What is wrong with
There's
you?
Nothing
you
wrong with
somebody
it.
By what they're wearing? As
no.
A,
but young, if you know anything about young people, if you know anything about young people, young people are very mindful of how they look.
Your kids ought to be
especially a young teenage girl who is going to go out into the world, and she's going to Phil. Can you turn her down so I can say what I want to say?
You know something? You are so ignorant.
I can't turn anybody down.
Grammar school? Did you go to school at all? That you're judging a young girl who's seeking
Susan,
God?
I don't
by
mind
what
if
the
you
leader
wear a yarmulke.
Is wearing?
Can I say something?
Who cares?
Can I say something, Phil?
Go ahead.
I don't mind, Susan, if you wear your yarmulke. That's fine. I'm talking about...
Well,
oh, thank you. I'm so glad that I have your permission. And you know something? Obviously,
how did you know she was Jewish?
Obviously, you're a Protestant or an Episcopalian.
Well, you can hear
you know,
voice.
How wonderful of you to just be talking behind people's backs going, "Quick, quick, 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 quick. Aren't you a wonderful,
quick.
Religious, kind woman?"
What does she mean
your kids,
quick,
honey, your kids ought to be taken away from you. Did you hear me?
Oh, well, that's...
With such a
I'm sure you think...
You've got to be kidding me.
I'm sure you think
Wait,
that's such a...
Re-
I'm sure you really think you got a big shot in with that one, Susan. You know, you got to get it pretty early to try to
honey,
shock
me. Honey,
listen
what
to your...
What grade did you... What
you know,
grade
Susan,
did you graduate
with
from?
A voice like yours, the china is shaking in my cabinets. Can you back it off a little bit? Oh, my
tell
God.
Tell me something. What do you do?
You know what I do? I've raised three... Did you hear that? Did you hear her use the S word? Did you hear?
I heard it all, and we dumped it. Let me go over to Dee Dee. Dee Dee, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, this Hi. Is Dee Dee. I'm calling from Miami.
Hi, Dee Dee.
It is mm-hmm. the only thing that mm-hmm. this young lady
mm-hmm.
should be embarrassed of.
Why is everyone
is
coming
her
down on me?
Her friend's mother. She is definitely a bigot. You should be teaching kids tolerance, not intolerance.
I do.
Her comments are disallowing most all religions. Where do you go with the Greek Orthodox?
Could you get out of the tub, please, Ms. Dooley?
What about the Muslims?
All right.
What about the Muslims with their headdress? What about
What's
African religions with feathers?
Are you talking
what
Muslim?
Is going on? You're supposed to be basing the
right, well, let's,
of religion.
Let's break this out. You haven't, to be fair, Ms. Dooley hasn't said anything about Muslims or Jews.
I think the Jews look fine
in their
hats.
She's talking about hats.
No, I'm talking about the Pope's hat, which I think...
The Pope's hat, a Greek Orthodox hat, any hat. What about the shaking? What are you supposed to discount people who have Alzheimer's and who have different disease?
What?
Because...
What is she talking about?
You
I
are completely intolerant.
That.
The
no,
comments
I didn't say that.
You told the previous lady.
What did I say about
you
shaking?
You cannot base That
I didn't
young
say anything about yarmulkes or anything about shaking. Dee Dee, you know.
That's what you said.
You're
the
trying.
Prince goes on television and he's shaking.
That's
you
right. You did
that
say
and
that.
I heard you.
You did say that.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you
and
did.
And that, you're ruling
I
out
never
people
said
who,
anything
are,
of the sort.
Who have Alzheimer's, who have other nervous diseases that are not their fault. We're supposed to not be tolerant with
Dee Dee, I'm worried. I'm simply worried that when the Pope is shaking
the only
like
thing
that,
I'm worried
the
about
hat's
is
gonna slip
the
down his forehead.
Of your three boys with your comments of intolerance. This is 2004.
Can I ask a question then? Because you may be Catholic. Why doesn't he wear something comfortable like a Yankees cap or a beanie or something like that?
Why does everyone have to conform and be the same? This
because
is not talking about wholesome
right.
bread here.
It's not right.
We have to celebrate individuality, and children should be encouraged
do you honestly,
to be themselves
yeah.
and to stand up for their beliefs.
Well, a young lady
not
doesn't
to conform
want to go out.
To what someone else wants.
So you'd let your daughter go out with a big zit on her nose. Good for you. What a mother.
What's that? Wait a minute.
Absolutely.
Have
you heard of Clearasil?
Well, it doesn't clear the zit up right then and there. You have to use it.
Do you have other concerns in life except zits and hats?
Can I say something?
No, wait a minute. I want to say something. Do you honestly expect the Pope to go out into a formal ceremony wearing a New York Yankees baseball cap?
I think it's more relatable. I honestly do. And if he's
in other words, he's wearing his full gowns.
I don't have anything wrong with the gowns.
So he's wearing a full vestment with a Yankee hat.
So in other words, that's wrong.
Oh, boy.
If the Pope had a really sharp-looking derby, is the caller there? Is the caller there?
I'm here.
What about a derby hat?
Know, why does he have to conform to anything? Why can't you be respectful of other people's styles and fashions? Have you ever traveled outside of your gated community?
We
apparently
don't.
Not.
We have everything
because
we need here.
There is no room for anyone else and for any other styles and for any other
can
customs.
I ask you something? What about a nice, sharp-looking straw hat with a bat?
Are you nuts? A straw hat?
Have you been drinking?
I most certainly have not. I'm putting boys to bed tonight to go to school.
Those poor boys, I hope no one in their school has
drinking. In other words, I'm drinking because
it's really embarrassing to them.
So, I want to be clear. You think I've been drinking because I suggest that the Pope wear a sensible derby instead of...
You're just such an illogical person, and you... This
all right,
definitely,
well, maybe
your
I don't
beliefs
I'm getting back
are
to
not what kids should be taught. Kids have to be taught tolerance, not intolerance.
I'm singing in the rain.
Oh, well, she's a child, too, because now she's in her freaking tub.
This is beyond belief.
Well, look,
I
mean, the idea that somebody
would,
she can't be a Catholic, obviously, if she thinks the Pope should go out wearing a derby instead of rolled up cardboard. And
I never said that.
Yes, you did. I heard you say it. Thank you very much, Dee Dee.
And you have no manners whatsoever.
What about one of those cowboy hats that
or to anyone else splashing
yes,
around
splashing
like
in your freaking tub.
In your tub.
I'm
to leave in something today is already
yes.
ahead of the ball game.
Thank you, Dee Dee, for your call. Ms. Dooley, I would simply say, would you please stop that?
I'm soaking in bath beads.
What about the derby hat idea, Mr. Henry?
Asinine.
Thank you.
All right, so in other words, the Pope will go out wearing a derby. All right, that's great. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up later in our show, Justin McElroy. Halo 2 is out, baby. $125 million it's made in 24 hours. We'll talk with Justin, a high school senior, about taking Friday off so the kids can get into the game. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, going straight to the hot place.
You there?
Yeah, Philip. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Alf.
Yeah, Philip. I'm wondering about this guy Bush. I don't know if it's going to work out. My cable's been out since last Thursday, and I can't get the guy from Verizon out of here. So what is Bush doing?
And if they can impeach him, all the better, because...
You want to impeach Bush because your cable's out?
It's been out since he got elected. But you don't see a connection. I guess I'm just another nut. Is that it? All right, fine. Call me a nut, but I still love your program.
You're a nut.
Well, I dropped dead.
Anyway, this is from our show yesterday. Dean Wheeler on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Just a comment, sir. I was laughing at that last one. We need to be medicated until we can immigrate. Good Lord.
Well,
I'll tell you, it really
you
made
know,
me angry tonight when I listened to this gentleman.
If you think that that's funny.
You know, my advice to him would be that he just grow up. And
I am
going to
grow up. I'm
going to
grow up in Canada.
Typical.
I'm going to grow
this
up in Canada.
It's just so typical.
Well, it's typical of what, Cindy, that a president who is going to lead us into a violent future wants to drag me along by the, if you'll pardon the expression, the short and curlies. I don't.
Oh, please.
You know,
I mean, really, you just need to grow up. There are no guarantees
well,
in life.
Well, you're dismissing our feelings, which only leads to more
I'm
anger.
I'm a little more concerned about the feelings of people that really are in need and the people that supported this president.
We are in
I
need.
Thoroughly have. And I worry more when Kerry was running. I was terrified at night when I go to bed. I got to tell you, I've had nothing but one good night's sleep after another since George Bush has been in office. You
oh
need
my
to grow
God.
Up, sir.
Oh, so in
and
other
I don't
words,
know what
because...
kind of doctor you are, if in fact you are an MD
right.
doctor, which
well,
I
let me,
hardly
let me,
think.
Let me put the shoe on the other foot. If Kerry had been elected and you weren't able to sleep and you called me and you said, I can't sleep because Kerry's president, would you like it if I said to you, why don't you grow up?
Well,
ah,
first of all,
ah,
I wouldn't have called anyone because I would have slept.
I got you on that.
You know?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, good grief. You know, you don't like something and you work to change it. It's called being an adult.
I am an adult.
You might want to look up in a dictionary.
Well,
but people like you infuriate me, and you're so typical of the Democrats that I talk to. I'm sorry, and I don't mean to put everybody in one little pie
well,
shell here,
I think
but...
That that's unfair because I...
Oh, wow. You could be president of the Wawa Club. I mean, grow up. You're such a crybaby.
You know, Cindy, an argument is not dismissing someone's feelings. An argument is making an argument, and you've yet to make an argument.
Anyone that would recommend
you're
somebody
also questioning
going through
my
what
masculinity.
You're going through, take medication and take any kind of medication, it's just ludicrous. This
I'm in
a
serious
nation of-
need of Effexor, which is an antidepressant, and I want the federal government to provide it. Why is that bad?
Not if we can vote on it. You certainly will not be getting it from this citizen.
You're going to have a hard time getting that one funded, Mr. Wheeler. I don't know how much money you're... But Effexor is an antidepressant. It's going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars. We don't have that money.
Oh, but we have money to bomb Iraq. Oh, okay. Now I understand.
Well, come on, man.
It's too bad you're so ill-informed. You know, you might want to actually look into the platforms and the issues because obviously you have.
You're so typical. I've spent a long time controlling my feelings through yoga. And
do you have a job? I mean, do you do anything besides sit around and feel sorry for yourself?
But I don't
encourage
enjoy
other people
it
to do the same?
You've questioned my masculinity, which I think is...
Oh,
were this a different time in my life, I would be prone to be violent.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy go.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
From Los Angeles, the Jim Rome Show on the Premier Radio Networks.
Thanks a lot for tuning in. Hope you didn't miss the first hour. And Yuval Lewis, the Baltimore Ravens. Next hour, we're going to have Troy Aikman talk about Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp is... He's definitely someone who's going to tell you what he thinks. And remember, you want to get the first hour of the show, bang your monkey. A lot of people calling up saying, what's wrong with your voice? And I'll tell you what happened. I went to the bathroom, tried to get an Advil. Took one of my wife's birth control pills. So, all the email, all the phone calls, I already got them all. We bottled up pretty good. People get on my grill. And we're just going to move on like everything's okay, okay? I got to talk about anything? I mean, what's going on in the world of sports? And the thing that is really got my attention today is the fact that Jamal Lewis had another 100-yard game, two TDs. Heck of a game. Let's go to your phone calls. Ray, how you doing?
I'm not Ray. I'm Lainey.
Okay, Lainey, what's up?
Is this Martha Stewart?
Out. Okay, we're going to keep talking about that. Then I just don't want to talk to you. It's Joe in Green Bay. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, Romy, would you have a sex change?
Out. Look, Travis, did he have the call screen better? What's up, Jim? How you doing?
Baba Booey.
You're out. Let's get on Jamal Lewis now. Baltimore Ravens. As I said, 2-TD lead. Virtually assures a Ravens win. 100-yard game. Fantastic. Yo, Jamal, what's up?
Baba Booey.
Out. Okay. Let's get on Troy Aikman. Troy, how you been?
Baba Booey.
Out. All right, we'll take a break and see if we can't get it together, okay? Shannon Sharp, you got anything to say?
Baba. Booey.
Out. I'm Jim Rome, I'm out. I mean, I'm all the way out. If you know what I mean.
The Jim Rome Show will be right back.
Why can't I sound like him?
There goes Romy. Gotta watch, you know, the wife's keeping those. Actually, the birth control pills are pretty easy to spot. They're in a little container and they're marked by the days of the month. You don't take Advil that way, last time I checked. 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up in the next hour will be Justin McElroy, who is a high school senior. And Halo 2, all the rage, baby. $125 million in 24 hours that game has made. Now, I probably misspoke a little yesterday when I said that makes it bigger than any movie that does comparable money over a comparable period of time, because the game is like $49.95 and a movie's $8. So it's like eight movie tickets. So it's not quite as, but that's huge in anybody's estimation. It's absolutely bloody well huge. Also this hour, we'll have Chester Shunt on home improvement. And we'll be talking with Victor Hume. He's a guy who is going to be on our show every night giving you the TV schedule for the night. I have no reason to understand why this would be, considering the fact that I'm on at the same time these shows are on, but we will talk with him about that as well. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And I just had to read this story to you because these stories won't go away, and I don't believe that there's just that many people out there thinking this way. What I believe is it's, like I said, a news story sort of building on itself. Like somebody at one of the news agencies said, hey, this sounds cool. Let's find out how and what it would take to emigrate from America. Then we'll write about it, and then people will like hit the website, and the next thing you know, we've got a news story that says people want to leave America, right? But they won't leave this one alone. They won't, man. Everybody says, can we just move on past the election? Love to do it, but they won't leave this one alone. This whole Americans are thinking about leaving the country. I got to tell you, it is not happening. But they find the one or the two people, some dissatisfied couple like this New England couple, the Dowlings. You know, they had to dig into, just like wander into a bar, like every bar in Boston, until they finally found a couple of people who maybe, yeah, were thinking about leaving the country because Bush is, you know, having him elected as the next best thing to Mussolini. And this lady and her husband, Leora Dowling, they thought returning from deep in red America to her native New England would make them feel more comfortable, more like the people around them shared their values. Since the election, she's been contemplating another move to Italy. After the election, she says, my husband and I asked ourselves, how could our country be headed backward? How could so many people miss or choose to ignore the obvious failures of the Bush administration, the former Florida resident said. And I looked at that sentence and I thought, you know, I don't know how many lifetimes it would take to convince these people to open this very person who says the country's going backwards because Bush got elected. How many lifetimes do you think it would take to actually open their eyes to the horrifying reality that they're the ones who are going backwards? That's what's made this election so fun to watch, so frustrating at times, and so ultimately satisfying for me. It's that America did choose the future, and the people that voted for Kerry actually believe that they were voting on the side of, like, progress. She's a college professor who lives with her husband in Vermont. Is not alone, says the ABC News story that I'm reading, and feeling that the wounds cannot be healed, or at least that Bush is not the man to do it. If I had a nickel for every time somebody said they're leaving the country if somebody gets elected, I would be so filthy rich. Not only that with that, but if I had a nickel for every person that said they're going to leave the country and then didn't work, not only would I not have to work, I could buy Clear Channel. I could automatically become my own boss. People make these comments, I'm leaving the country if Bush gets elected, and then they never leave. How come? Like it's a threat? Like, hey, you know, if you vote for him, I'm leaving. Don't you understand? Good riddance. It's like the Arafat tape. It's like the two guys to me are the same guy. It's like the Bin Laden tape. You know, how could you not see that this guy wants you to vote for John Kerry? How could you possibly make it, how could it be made any clearer to these people? Oh, no. So, all right, fine. Tell you what, leave. Just go. What's keeping you, man? Bush won. Get out of here. Go. Well, we're thinking about it. Don't think about it. The guy got elected. Well, we just, I don't see how I can live here. You're right. You agree then? Yes, I do agree. Well, what are you, sounds like you're encouraging me. Like, well, yes, I'm encouraging you to leave. I want you to have the courage of your convictions. Leave. Go to Italy. Italy. Ha, ha, ha. Italy. There's a bomb going off every day in that country. Are you crazy? At least there used to be. We were leaving anyhow, mostly because we want to start a family and we don't feel our children can get a decent education in the United States, said Brian Sinicki of Laramie, Wyoming. He said America's schools fail children by not teaching subjects like philosophy and civics, subjects he said would give Americans not only a deeper understanding of the world, but an appreciation for the yada yada. He also criticized the media and television and that, that, that. Television has single-handedly destroyed the level of political discourse. When I talk about people, he just went on and on and on, blathering and blithering away. Boy, I'm so tempted to read something to you guys. I don't know if I should read it, though, because I don't want to come off sounding like, yeah. But I want to read this thing. This was written by a guy named Paul Johnson. He's an Englishman. He wrote it before the election. It's the most brilliant thing that I've ever seen any European write about this election that we just went through. He was writing it before the election. And he talks about anti-Americanism being just like anti-Semitism in this regard. It has absolutely no logical basis, and it's a mental disease that pops up every now and again. Like anti-Semitism just sort of pops up in Europe every now and again. They hate Jews over there every now and again. Just like that, anti-Americanism is the same, and it always happens, this man wrote, when America exerts a strong, unbending leadership. They just don't dig it. It has no logical root. There's no basis for anything that, you know, anything anybody would say for believing. It just happens, you know. He also went on to list, and I don't want to bash Kerry now that he's lost, the guy's he's gone and that's it, but he went on to talk about the people that supported him, the people, the money behind this cat. One of them was a guy named George Soros. Do you know this guy single-handedly tried to destroy the European Union economically? George Soros? Nobody ever gets into this stuff. The other thing is Kerry kept calling himself an Irishman. Apparently, Senator Kerry is ashamed of the fact that he has some Jewish ancestry. German Jewish ancestry. Why? Why would he be ashamed of that? I mean, Lieberman sure as hell wasn't ashamed of being a Jew. He ran as the vice president of the United States. He was going to, you know, wanted to be elected vice president with Gore. Anyway, I'm not going to read it. I decided, but the guy's name is Paul Johnson. It's a tremendous piece, and it's for people who really have a mind open enough to want to hear what the guy's got to say. But I don't know how many of those people are left in this country. Here's a guy, as I mentioned, who wants to leave the country. He says he's been job hunting in his wife's native France. All these things were going on before Bush got elected, but I also think they got worse since Bush got elected. He's a symptom of the problem, and he's making it worse. So he's going to go to France. This lady, Dowling, didn't start thinking about moving abroad just last week. She said her concern was more about the role Bush's religious beliefs seemed to play in his governing and the role of religion in American society, what she calls aggressive Christianity. Look, can I tell you guys something that will break? There isn't going to be a gay marriage amendment. It'll never happen. For you to worry about that is like worrying that the moon is going to go off of its orbit and crash into the earth. It ain't going to happen. Oh, don't you be so sure, Phillip. It ain't going to. How can I sit here with utter confidence and tell you it ain't going to happen? I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to say it right now. And I'll be here in 4 years in 2008 when Bush splits. And if we've got a gay marriage amendment in place, then I can't pay everybody money. I don't have enough money. What can I do? I'll take my clothes off and run down Wilshire Boulevard, stark raving nude, at noon. High noon. And get arrested for it and everything. There won't be a gay marriage amendment. Are you Looney Tunes? Number two. This whole thing about him stalking the Supreme Court with the justices. Roe versus Wade is not going to be overturned. Won't happen. Won't happen. How can you be so sure? First of all, Bush is not suicidal. Secondly, I happen to think more highly of him than most people. And, you know, I think highly of him like most people who voted for him. He is not the despot that everyone thinks he is. I know you don't believe that, but I guess the proof's in the pudding. Let me give you an indication of why I think that, you know, perhaps you should listen to me. You remember when everybody said that he was going to pull bin Laden out of hiding? Well, I guess he didn't have bin Laden. And you remember when everyone said the price of gas was going to go way down just before the election? Funny thing, it went up before the election. Then after the election, it came down. So all of these conspiracy nuts and who are so convinced, man, that Roe v. Wade's going to get turned over, we're going to have a gay amendment, why don't you start concentrating your efforts in some place that could possibly use your, you know, like, why don't you make sure your kid's school lunch is packed properly? Quit bothering me with your paranoia. And move to Italy, please. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Madden 2003. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hello, everyone. This is Sheila Skelly, along with Dr. Jack Briscoe. Welcome to Sew Me Up So Tight. I'm talking through a hole in my face. Our plastic surgery segment. Hello, Dr. Briscoe. How are you?
Oh, Sheila, I'm doing good. I'm doing much better than I was yesterday. I want to say to all of our viewers and all of our listeners out there, if you're ugly and you don't have any friends because you're ugly, there is help for you. Plastic surgery has helped so many people who are naturally unacceptable looking to gain admiration and friends. Why, certainly, a man wouldn't be interested in you if your breasts are too small. Why would you think he would be? But with larger breasts, you can find love. Why would any man want to kiss your thin, ugly lips when you can pump them full of collagen? And why would any man want to have anything whatsoever to do with you because your nose is a half a centimeter too long? But with plastic surgery, it can help. Now, Sheila, I have to tell you the horror of what ugliness can do to a family. To an entire family visited me yesterday in my own home in the person of my daughter, Beth Amy.
Oh, no. Beth Amy's a sweet girl. What happened?
Well, my wife was calling home at the instant that I walked into the bathroom and saw what I saw, and her machine, her voicemail, picked up the sound of what I encountered. Let's listen, shall we?
Certainly.
This is me walking into the bathroom and finding my daughter in there.
Beth Amy, how are you doing? I'm in here, Daddy.
Now you heard that.
Oh, my God, what happened?
Well, Beth Amy is in here right now. Turn your face away.
All right.
Don't look at her. Beth Amy?
Yeah, Daddy?
Tell everybody what I saw.
Daddy, it's not...
Tell everyone what I saw.
I got a zit. Oh, my God.
Yeah. She had a zit on her chin. And I swore a blood oath then and there. I swore a blood oath that I would use these hands that medicine gave me, these hands that my mother and father sweated their lives away so that I could have a medical education. I would use these hands and I would create beauty from the horror, from the ugliness of my daughter and a zit on her face.
Daddy, you're making...
Shut up! You know what I'm going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going out to bars. Yeah, that's it. I'll go to bars. I'll find women who are beautiful. I'll bring them back to the laboratory, and I'll sever their heads, and I'll cut your head off. Cut off the head that is the home of that pustule on your chin, and I'll sew a new head on if I have to. Yes, I'll sew a new head on if I have to. But I won't have my daughter going through life as a freak, as an elephant man, as the kid from Mask, with a zit on her chin the morning of her prom. I won't do it.
Dr. Briscoe, get a hold of yourself.
Don't you tell me what to do when my daughter goes through life like some kind of a circus freak. No. Thank God I have these hands. I'll sever the head of a stripper, and I'll put her head on my daughter's body, and I'll never have to see the mutant freak that my daughter's become.
This has been our plastic surgery segment. Put a bag on his head. Holy God. Daddy, it's not that bad.
Not that bad!
I'm Sheila. I don't know who I am.
This has been our plastic surgery segment. Sew me up so tight, I'm talking through a hole in my face. Don't be ugly. Get your face cut into tomorrow. Wow, that poor guy, Dr. Briscoe, huh? Hey, did you ever see the thing with two heads? No. Was it the thing that wouldn't die when the guy cut off his girlfriend lost her head in an automobile accident? So he brings her head back to the laboratory and sticks it in like a spaghetti colander or something. And then he goes out and he finds chicks at bars. And it's unbelievable because the women are like, they all got these killer bodies, but their faces are a little on a hanky side. So he like takes their bodies, trying to graft his girlfriend's head onto these bodies. Finally, this ghoul that he's been keeping in a vault kills him. It's great. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we have on the line Riley Davenport. I don't know if you remember Riley, but we had him on the show not too long ago, and Riley's mother or grandmother, well, that's still the phone loop from when Dr. Briscoe discovered that his daughter had a zit. Let me see if we can get to the right phone call. Riley, you there? Riley?
Yes, sir, I'm right here.
Okay, Riley. Your grandmother, you say, can predict the future.
Yeah, that came as quite a shock to all of us, but she is capable of doing that, yes, sir.
Now, last time you had her on the show, I forget what she said exactly, but it had to do with who was going to be elected president, right?
Yes, sir.
And she said applesauce.
Right. Well, she might have been tired that day, I don't know, but...
She obviously didn't... Applesauce wasn't elected president. George Bush was.
No, I know that. But the fact is, she's... let me tell you why I believe that my grandmother can predict the future, and why you're wrong to point these things out. I don't think it's fair.
Well, I'm just reporting objectively here.
Well, here's the deal. My grandma one time whispered in my ear, water. And no sooner did she say water then my sister come walking through the door with a big gallon jug of water. So she knew my sister going to come through the door.
With water?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, tonight she's going to predict what most people will be eating on November the 25th.
Yes, she will, sir.
All right, what are most people going to be eating? Now, is she there?
She's right here, yeah.
She'll be predicting what most people will be eating on, I don't know how this could possibly be gotten wrong, but...
You don't know what people are going to be eating on November 25th. You think it's going to be turkey. It could be a lot of things.
All right, fine. I mean, so it may not be turkey.
It might not be. Okay, Grandma. I got her at the mall right now. We were going to rent a DVD. She wanted me to rent a DVD.
What did she want to see?
She wanted to see Freddy Takes Manhattan, but they don't have it.
Your grandmother?
Yeah. Okay, Grandma? Grandma? Grandma, what are people going to... I got the phone up to her now, Phil. Can you hear her?
I heard something, yeah.
Grandma, what are people going to eat on November 25th?
Bob Barker.
There you go, Mr. Henry. Bob Barker. Hello?
Yeah, listen, pal.
What?
What do you mean, Bob Barker? Last time it was applesauce.
Well, it was close.
It wasn't close. The guy that came in second is a guy named Kerry. Applesauce didn't even finish in it. What, are we talking about a horse race here? Are we talking about the presidential race? And now on the 25th of November, everybody's going to be eating Bob Barker.
If that's what she says, that's what she says. So I'm betting that that's what everyone's going to be eating.
What do you mean eating Bob Barker? The man?
I don't know. Maybe there's a new dish called Bob Barker. Maybe everyone's calling turkey Bob Barker. You may not know. In 3 weeks, the whole culture will have turned to calling turkey Bob Barker. And another thing, I just want to plug a book that I...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Will you please get a grip with these callers? Hi. Yeah, my grandma thinks that on the 25th, we'll all be eating Bob Barker. Well, thank you very much for calling, sir. You got it. All right, let's go over here to Darren. Darren, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Howdy.
Hi.
I'm calling from Minnesota. I live in a blue state, and we voted for Kerry and everything. I live up in the Duluth area, which is a pretty liberal area. And mm-hmm. I heard you talking a little while ago about how Roe versus Wade is not going to be overturned, and there won't be an amendment banning gay marriage. And you're probably right. There probably won't be. But I just want to say that I think we'd be a lot better off if both those things did happen.
Okay.
And I think we'd be better off as a country.
Oh, okay, great. Well, I don't agree with
you.
All right, man, thanks. Believe me, take it from me. Trying to talk sense to people from Minnesota, it's just not going to happen. No. You know, the guy's just like, I just want to say, what do you think I'm going to say to the guy?
Well, here are my reasons, sir, that I don't...
Yeah, fine, you go ahead, man. It ain't going to happen. Go ahead and campaign for it all you want. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to... You know, it's the things that people are afraid of really make me laugh. Just make me laugh until I want to pee. You know, when old man Bush, the first old Bush was in, they said that it was going to be overturned then. Remember that? Oh, my God, the paranoia that was running amok when Bush got elected president, the old guy, you could have cut it with a knife. Everybody was convinced it would get overturned. Did it? Oh, yeah, I know. Some extenuating circumstances, blah, blah, blah. Remember when that first Gulf War started? They thought it would be the beginning of the nuclear age. It was going to be, oh, God, they were going to feed our men into a meat grinder. Didn't happen, did it? Here, let me read you this. I got one highlighted thing. This guy, Paul Johnson, is a lot like me, a liberal who voted for or supported Bush. Now, you may not think they're out there, but Christopher Hitchens is another. We all know about Zell Miller. It's ridiculous to think that Bush got elected because all the right-wingers came out of the woodwork. There were a hell of a lot of cats like me, Democrats, that voted for him. This guy writes, and I'm just going to read this little quick paragraph. There's something grimly admirable about President Bush's stoicism in the face of reverses, which reminds me of other moments in history. The dark winter Washington faced in 1777 and 1778, a time that Thomas Paine described as a time to try men's souls, and the long succession of military failures that Lincoln had to bear and explain to the country before he found a commander he could take the cause to victory. There's nothing glamorous about the Bush presidency, and there's nothing exhilarating. It's all hard pounding, as Wellington said of Waterloo, adding, "Let us see who can pound the hardest." Mastering terrorism fired by religious fanaticism straight from the Dark Ages requires hard pounding of the dullest, most repetitious kind, in which spectacular victories are not to be looked for, and all we can expect are, in the words of Churchill, blood, toil, tears, and sweat. However, something persuades me that Bush, with his grimness and doggedness, his lack of sparkle, but his enviable concentration on the central issue, is the president America needs at this difficult time. Now, the other thing that he said that was very interesting, he said Bush is hated in Europe because he's very American. He's not glamorous. He's not puffed up and pumped up. He's pretty straight-ahead American. And the very thing that pisses all those Europeans off about the guy is the very thing that makes him and all of us what we are, Americans. Don't ever think, folks, even if you were the most liberal, or I should say maybe the most diehard Kerry supporter, don't ever think that when you travel to Europe and you sit down and you say all the things that you think Europeans want to hear, that they're not laughing at you as soon as you get up to use the can, because trust me, they are. The Brits just don't like us. I mean, yeah, they like us as individuals, and they get to know us. We have many friends who are British. I mean, as a country, they don't like us. They mock us as secondhand Europeans. We don't get it. On and on and on. Same thing with the frogs. And if you think you're going to go over to Europe, and you're going to find a whole bunch of people listening to your prattle and say, oh, yes, finally, Americans who get it. As soon as you get up to go get more coffee or to go into the kitchen and get some of that flat bread you bought in the market and you wanted to serve to your Italian friends, or you get up and get that nice bottle of Chianti you found, thinking it's going to break the ice with all of these new Italians that you know, they'll be giggling at you and kind of chortling as you walk into the kitchen saying, these Americans, do they honestly think they can be Europeans? They know better than we do that we are not European. We're American. Now, if you don't like it, if you want to move out of the country and become a frog or become a freaking guinea or become a limey or a kraut, go ahead and do it. You probably, you know, got born in the wrong country, and maybe it was like a genetic failure of some kind. I kind of like it here. I dig it. I like being stupid and dull and American. And I like the fact that my country does have the leadership of the world. My God, I would be, can you imagine living anywhere else? I don't mind visiting those places. And I want to go to the Vatican, and I want to see the Pope's big hat. I want to see that rolled up card. Why can't they give him a proper hat? Look at, he's the Pope, man. You got three cardinals with some cardboard from a box, and they cut it out, and they taped it together, and they put it on his head and spray-painted it gold. That's ridiculous. I want to go, and I want to see all of those things, but when the end of the day arrives, I'm here, I'm at home, I'm a Yank, and it's fine with me, and if Kerry had been elected, I'd stay here, and I'd do the best I could to support him. Even though his election scared me, the prospect of that, more than Bush's election scared the people that didn't like Bush. I guarantee you, I don't care how afraid you were that Bush was going to get elected, I was more petrified, more sickened to my stomach, and more ready to just vomit up liver bile and corned beef sandwiches that have yet to be digested at the very thought of John Kerry becoming president of the United States. Not because I don't like the guy, not because I ain't a good Democrat. It's because putting a guy in charge of a country at a time like this, who's making it up as he goes, who's just kind of responding to popular opinion polls, was an insane notion at best, and we ought to all be locked up at worst. All right, here's the news bulletin. Yasser Arafat, who triumphantly forced his people's plight into the world spotlight but failed to achieve his lifelong quest for Palestinian statehood, has died at the age of 75. He was to the end a man of many mysteries and paradoxes, terrorist, statesman, autocrat, and peacemaker. Palestinian Cabinet Minister Sahib Arafat confirmed to the Associated Press that Arafat has died. The Palestinian leader spent his final days in a coma at a French military hospital outside Paris. Tayeb Abdel Rahim, a top Arafat aide, confirmed that Arafat died at 4:30 a.m. Paris time. Paris is 9 hours ahead of us, or 10. So that would have been around 6:30 this evening Pacific, 9:30 Eastern, so about 3 hours ago. Arafat's last days were as murky and dramatic as his life, flown to France on October 29th after nearly 3 years of being penned in his West Bank headquarters by Israeli tanks. He initially improved but then sharply deteriorated as rumors swirled about his illness. Top Palestinian officials flew in, blah, blah, blah. His wife, Suha, publicly accused them of trying... Boy, is she a mental case, that Suha. What's that? Is that Arab for nut job? How about Arab for jackball? You, Suha, what are you doing? Arafat's failure to groom a successor complicated his... Well, of course he wasn't a groom, no successor. The guy thought he was going to live forever. Guys that think they're going to live forever don't groom successors. And that would also presuppose the guy actually gave a crap what was going to happen to the Palestinian people. He only gave a crap about him, Yasser Arafat. To the bitter end, it was about him. Never about his people. If it had been about his people... He wouldn't have spent all that time worrying and sweating over Israeli this and Israeli that, and he would have gone to those Arabs and said, look, we need you to make with some serious cash and some serious commitment at helping us build up what we do have. I got a thing in the mail the other day, and it was a map of all the Arab countries. And then in it was the little sliver of land called Israel. And the caption was something along the lines of the Nazi hegemony of the Jews. And they got 500 million Arabs, and they've been sweating for 60 years this little spit of land called Israel, when if they'd gotten their act together, which of course they can't because they're always warring among themselves like the petty little people that they are, they would have been able to actually build up that part of the world so it isn't just some third world dump. They would have made it into a first-world class act, but instead they gave it over to guys like Arafat. They gave it over to that strutting little Ringling Brothers clown, and what do they got? What do they got to show for it, I ask you? A whole bunch of jive-ass cats in bedsheets running around screaming about Jews, man. There's 5 million of them, dude. You got 500 million Arabs. Why don't you do something with what you got? Terrorists and dictators. Fanatics, that's what they gave the world over to. They gave the Arab world, the Arab people, over to the leadership of terrorists, fanatics, and dictators. And now at least one of them's dead. Now maybe another one will croak and we'll have that Deadpool going. You guys want to get a Deadpool going on? Bad taste? Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry. Not again, man, please. I got it. David, what do you want?
Now, are you trying to piss off the Arabs? Good God Almighty, I'm sitting there about to sit down to a Mrs. Cumberton's apple pie, and I hear you going on about Arafat, and now you're glad he's dead?
I did not.
Yes, you did. Now tomorrow morning, I got to come into the office, and I'm going to have 100 guys with towels on their heads outside the gates screaming for my blood. Dusting off the hot seat for me like I keep trying to tell you. You won't listen. Gee. Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I acknowledged it, yes. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Chet, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, hey, Phil. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I was looking at the news here about Arafat. I was wondering if you thought there was anything to the possibility that maybe the French just went ahead and did him in.
Why?
Well, because they might need Israel's help on the Ivory Coast. Right now, it looks like they've got their hands full. And he might need some military assistance from Israel down on the Ivory Coast in Africa. And it might have been the quid pro quo, if you will. You scratch my back, I scratch yours.
I don't. Unless you have evidence of that.
Well, I think it stands to reason that the French might have hastened his death. And
you know, that if that gets out, I mean, of course, you're talking about America, there would be rioting all over the world if we killed Arafat. So you're telling me the French... killed Arafat.
Well, I think they can get away with it. I think that they could have killed him
strangled him or smothered him with a pillow or whatever, what have you. I don't know how they do those things. Or dropped his bed out of a window or something. Where did they find him?
What?
Where did they find him?
He was dead in his bed.
So they didn't push him out of a window or anything?
No, man, they didn't push him out of a window.
Well, he could have anything, but I think they might have done it because that Ivory Coast deal is a real black eye for them. You know, they're down there and it's no good. The whole thing, it's just no good.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Well, I got one more thing, Phil.
No, I don't. I got to get out of here. Let's go over to Mike. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hello.
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
Hey, I just had a quick question for you. Hey, when was it the UN's place to actually give Palestine to Israel?
After World War II, the Balfour Letter, which had been written by the British in the early part of the century, it was decided by the UN that World War II was the last straw, that so many millions of Jews had been put to death, that they'd been driven out of so many different countries, that they felt that they needed to act on this Balfour Letter, which was to ensure a homeland for the Jewish people in Palestine.
Oh, so kind of like the displaced Palestinians, how many have been killed over the years?
You really wanted an answer to the question.
Well,
like
I guess
you, like
I
you,
was,
have
I
you ever, if you've looked into the problem, sir, you would have had the answer to the question. You don't need me to answer it for you.
Well, I didn't need you to answer a question.
Well, then why would you ask me a question like that?
I just think it's kind of...
displaced Palestinians. 500 million Arabs have made that spit of land such a preoccupation they're run by a bunch of Nazis. So, have a nice life. Bug off, you moron. You know what you guys need to do? Not you guys. Guys like Mike there. Just go ahead and have Chris answer the question. Because he's, you know, he can get... In other words, all the stupid questions Chris can handle, and I can move on to something a little bit more... interesting, like listening to that guy say that the frogs killed Arafat. Coming up, we have Justin McElroy from Canyon High School on Halo 2 and the Chester Shunt Show on the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Justin McElroy is a junior at Canyon High School in northern L.A. County. Halo 2 has just been released, the Xbox game by Microsoft, as we have told you earlier in the program. In 24 hours, it's done $124 million worth of business. $124 million. This is a big game. And Justin, welcome to our program. I know you're a Halo 2 fan. You're also sit on your student council, correct?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about Halo 2 and why it's important to you guys and why it is important, particularly up at your school.
Halo 2 is probably the biggest game to come out probably since gaming started, and is very significant to our generation. And at our school, we have student advisors that we can go to and tell them what, you know, our advice would be as students for how the school is being run. And Mr. Porter, who is my homeroom teacher and also advises our student council, and I told him about Halo 2 coming out and that it was going to be a pretty significant event for kids of my generation, and I told him that we wanted a day off to have the opportunity to get into the game.
You're asking for a day off this week?
Yes, sir, to look at different levels and play at least one game on it, and that way be able to have this experience, which my generation's is equivalent in a lot of ways. Like, people are taking Veterans Day off, and so we said, why don't we get to take off a day for this game, which is very important.
So you're asking this teacher to approach the school board or the administration?
Yeah, it's pretty revolutionary idea, I guess, because... We told them that we wanted to set aside this Friday because the game came out on Monday night, and that we wanted them to set aside this Friday so we could have the day off to experience what's a significant event for my generation.
Well, you're asking for a day off to play a video game.
Well, that's correct, yeah, but, I mean, you have to understand, and if people don't understand, that's fine, but it's like I don't really understand the fascination around Veterans Day, yet everybody gets to have that off, or a lot of stuff that has happened to other generations, like Kennedy being assassinated or whatever.
Yeah, but, okay, fair enough, but Veterans Day honors the men and women who served in our armed forces.
Yeah, no, I know, but it isn't that big of a thing to me and other people my age, but I respect that. It's a big thing to you, and so I told Mr. Porter, who is our advisor, and Ms. Annandale is our history teacher, and I said to her that Xbox Halo 2 is a big event for us, like Veterans Day was, and I told them that we wanted to take Friday off.
Well, but you told them, and then they turned you down, right?
Well, yeah, they said no, but I, you know, offered them the chance, and the student prefects and the student council members, we took a vote, and we're going to give them a chance to rethink it before Friday.
All right, but what I want to say to you, in a way, because what I'm hearing you say, inherent in your comments is a kind of an inflexibility. You want Friday off for Halo 2, and the teachers have said no. What leverage do you have that can change your mind?
What leverage do we have?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get into people being at odds with each other. I mean, you know, it's important to us. We're very proud of our school, and I'm the junior class president. I sit on our student council as the junior class prefect, and we advised Ms. Annandale and Mr. Porter of what we wanted, and one of our freshman class student council members came into one of the council meetings we had, and he had gone online and gotten a reprint of like news stories from Columbine, and he came into the meeting with these kind of just laying out on his desk, and so Mr. Porter could see it, and I didn't think that what he did was right, but it sort of sends a message of what, you know, some kids who aren't thinking right are capable of. And
what is that? What does that mean? You're the kid printed off?
Yeah, he came in with, you know, and I thought it was probably pretty radical for him to do that, but you have to understand, I don't know why everybody's all, you know, hot for Veterans Day, because that doesn't matter to me or to anybody that I know, but yet we'll honor it and we'll take it off and we'll do what they say. So they need to also look at what we want, and we want Friday off so we can sort of celebrate Halo 2, because it's very big.
Well, I told my own sons, my guys went out to get the game Monday night. I said, I understand it's a major cultural event for your generation, but I also told them that you can't come home and play it, that you got school.
Yeah, and my parents said the same thing. And
so you were not able to play it?
No, I wasn't. And we understand that, but we do need to have a day off this week so that we can, because it's a really expensive game. It's also important to be able to play it because of how we feel about it. And that's why we are going to tell them that we're going to take Friday off.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Justin is, how old are you, Justin?
I'll be 17 on December the 3rd, and I'm junior class president right now. I'm junior class prefect, too, at our student council.
All right, so you're 16?
Yeah.
All right, so the game Halo 2, and there may be a lot of people listening to me that are not familiar with it, is a game...
Well, but that's something else, Mr. Henry. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
That is kind of insulting to say a lot of people don't know about Halo 2. They want me to know about Veterans Day, and they want me to know about when Kennedy got shot and everything, but they won't listen about Halo 2, because that's important to us, and maybe they don't think it's important, but it is.
All right, I understand that. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We talked to Justin McElroy here of Canyon High School about Halo 2. The new version, Halo 1, was the first, and Halo 2 is the second, and probably the most anticipated video game ever, and perhaps the most popular since the introduction of Halo of video games with the old Pong game back in the 70s. It's an Xbox game. It's produced by Microsoft. I want to get back to this notion you say we're going to take Friday off. You're not asking?
Well, we asked... to take Friday off, and they said no, and we're giving them a couple of days to think about it. And
if they come back with the same answer, no, you don't get Friday off to play Halo, what is your response to that?
Well, we're hoping that it's not going to come to that, and we're very hopeful and very positive that it's going to, that they're going to just let us take Friday off and not, you know, push the issue, because it's insulting for them not to respect that we like Halo, but they ask us to care when they talk about Pearl Harbor and everything, And
well, are you comparing the release of Halo to events such as Pearl Harbor? You've mentioned
and Woodstock. It's not just about tragedies, but like Woodstock.
All right, Woodstock, Pearl Harbor, Veterans Day, the release of Halo 2. You see all these things?
Well, it's probably more like Veterans Day, because Veterans Day is not that big of a day, but it's important. Or maybe more like, you know, when my mom told me about going to see the Beatles when they came to the Hollywood Bowl, and she tells me all these stories. I'm like, I'm not really all that interested, but I try to, you know, pretend like I care, you know, and I understand, you know.
Then you would forgive some adults listening to you who aren't all that interested and are pretending to care about Halo 2.
Well, yeah, but by the same notion, you have to care to the point where if we say we want to take a day off, you have to let us have a day off because...
Well, why? I mean, you haven't described that.
Because why do we have to take Veterans Day off?
Well, I could give you the reasons.
I know you could give me the reasons, and I can give you the reasons why we want to have a day off for Halo 2. And I may think the reasons, you know...
But Justin, the Veterans Day is a day, as you know, as you've learned in school, and as you may have friends who are veterans, it honors our veterans.
Yeah, but that, to me, is a stupid thing. I mean...
You don't believe in honoring our veterans?
No, I didn't say that, but taking a day off for it is stupid. And I'll tell you why. You know, so what? I mean, they fought, and that's fine, but it's stupid to take the day off, in my opinion. But I'm not saying don't take it off. I'm saying you should take off, I guess, whatever day you want. But if I'm going to take off Veterans Day, which is kind of stupid to me, only...
Not because we don't honor our veterans? What is stupid about it?
It's not about honoring our veterans. Taking the day off is stupid. But if you want to take a day off that's stupid, then why won't you let us take off a day for Halo? So it's like we've given them 2 days to think about it, and actually that's tomorrow is when we want to hear that they're going to let us take the day off.
If the answer comes back no, you don't get to take the day off for Halo 2, what will be your response?
Well, I don't want to get into that because we're anticipating that they're going to be sensible and let us take it off.
Well, you bring up the fact that the kid came in with the Columbine stories.
Well, that wasn't right. I agree, but in a way, it was right. And
well, in a way that it was right, what? It's threatening with violence?
Well, no, but it's just he was letting Mr. Porter know, you know, that it's hard to explain, but we can, if we're pushed, do that. I don't want to do that, and I won't do that, but if you push a kid... then he can do that.
Are you saying that there's going to be violence if you don't get a day off to play Halo 2?
No, I'm not.
Then why are you making excuses for this kid that came in with the Columbine stories?
I'm not making excuses for him. I'm saying all he wanted to let Mr. Porter know is what some kids are capable of if you shut him down. That's all.
All right. 1-800-449. Sounds like he's playing video games there, doesn't it? That's Justin McElroy, a high school senior from Canyon High School, on Halo 2. The release of Halo 2 on Monday night has been record-breaking, $124 million. There are millions of kids buying it. It's a major cultural event, and they want Friday off at their high school to be able to get into this game and to play it. When I said, why do you need a day off? You heard his response, why do we have to take a day off for Veterans Day? I said, well... because of our veterans. He said, well, I'd like a day off for Halo 2. He also described Veterans Day as a day where we should honor our veterans, but he thinks it's stupid, quote-unquote, to take the day off. But he goes ahead and takes it off anyway because it seems to be important for everybody else. Why can't they have the day off to play Halo 2, that is? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Grand Theft Auto.
And now more
on The Phil Hendry Show.
On with me is Justin McElroy from Canyon High School. Are you at an arcade right now, Justin?
Right now I'm just with a couple friends of mine. We're over at the Promenade Mall where we go. Just playing some games right now. You know.
Okay, this is a school night, right?
Yeah, it's a school night, but my mom is, you know, she told me that I shouldn't play video games, and yet this is kind of what I'm talking about. She's sort of, I guess, I don't want to call my mom a slut or anything, but because, you know, she is happily married to my dad, but she sort of dresses inappropriate and thinks she's hot, and her friends think they're all hot, and it's sort of gross, I guess, to be around them, you know, and they're... When at the house, so I...
You trying to get away from your mother and her friends?
Well, yeah, I mean, they all think they're really hot-looking and everything. They're, like, all 40 and or 40, 41 or something, and so I just, you know, take a break. But I told them, you know, that if we, you know, if when we get Friday off, which we better, I mean, we better get Friday off, because, I don't think it's right to expose me to my mom's friends who... think they're hot looking, but all they are just beasts, you know.
Are you saying Halo and playing Halo 2 gets you away from your mother's friends?
Well, it just gets me away from the hypocrisy of them, and they're just the hypocrisy of it all.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Tom. Tom, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Justin McElroy.
I appreciate that. Justin.
Yeah.
You're talking about the video game was you thought it was important as Veterans Day?
Well, Halo 2 is important to kids of my generation, yeah.
Okay, and you're kind of wanting the same thing that the veterans get, and that is day off, right?
Well, I'm saying if they get to have their day off on account of what they are, then we should get our day off, yeah.
Well, then tell me something. If that's the case... The veterans went out and literally died to be able to give you the freedom to complain about not getting a day off. Now tell me what
right.
This video game is going to give us. Is it going to give anybody any freedom?
Well, no, but if they
no,
died,
it's not
if they died for
you
it,
you can't compare it to it either.
If they died
no,
for
you cannot compare it
hey,
to it.
Hey, shut up, man.
People if died,
don't tell a guy to shut up.
No, this guy wants
a video game for people that went out and fought for your freedom?
Well, if they died for my freedom, why can't I have my freedom if they died for it?
You've got it, but not
okay.
to force somebody to give you a day off.
They have to, because...
Well, they don't have to either.
Well...
You're trying to force them
words,
to.
So in other words, I have to sit around with my mom and her skank friends and look at that?
No, you don't have to do that. You can always go to a homeless shelter somewhere.
What? When's the last time you went to a homeless shelter?
I didn't, because
okay,
I know they're going to act like that around my parents.
What do you mean? I mean, I'm not the one dressing inappropriately. My mom's and her friends wear pants that are too tight and everything.
What has that got to do with you wanting to force the school to give you a day off and comparing it to Veterans Day?
Because my mom and her friends wear pants that are inappropriate and are so tight you can see everything, and I want to play Halo 2 to get away from how skanky they are.
Well, what's that got to do with Veterans Day?
Because
yeah, that's absurd.
How come everybody gets to take Veterans Day off, which I don't think is right, but okay, I'm not arguing with nobody about it. So why is everybody arguing with me about getting to take a day off for Halo 2?
No, nobody's arguing with it. They just want
yeah,
you to
are.
Understand that
yeah,
Halo 2 has never gone out and died for anybody.
You don't know anything about Halo 2, sir. I mean, you don't... It's important...
Okay, are you saying that Halo 2 has gone out and died for our freedom?
It's... Halo 2 is the
yes
result of our freedom. It's the result of our freedom.
Just,
okay?
Absolutely.
So there you go. So we get
and
to have the day
you cannot force... And just because you got freedom from people dying, you cannot go out and force
well,
your
they
will
force
on somebody
me?
Else.
Will they force their will on me?
Oh, wait.
Yeah, see? You say that we have freedom, but they're forcing me to take a day off for some veterans deal. Whatever.
Well, hey, I'm
you
sure
know?
They'd probably let you go to school if you wanted to.
No, they won't. There's not going to be anybody there. Yeah, got you on that one. Okay, thanks
well,
a lot.
Not at all.
Thanks
what it is.
Thanks for your call.
Hey, look, let me run the show, okay, kid?
Well, isn't there anybody else to talk to, or...
Tom.
Hey, you just need to understand that your game
yeah,
has not
yeah,
done
yeah,
anything
yeah.
for anybody.
Look,
and
how
don't have anything to do with your mom.
How come I got to sit around and look at my mom wearing pants that are
You don't.
Tight
why, don't why don't you go in the other
why
room
don't you
or
leave?
Go somewhere. Do something.
I'd like to play Halo 2, but I don't have enough time for it.
But the thing out here, you can't force people to let you do that.
Well, they're forcing me to take Veterans Day off and to say that Kennedy was, like, assassinated and everything.
Well, he was assassinated.
Okay, I guess I have to believe it because they're forcing me to.
All right, Tom, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate
your endeavors. Very much, and I can certainly understand that he can't see the light of day.
Thank you very much, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Alan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
My name is Alan Truesdell. I'm a former Marine, spent 12 years in the Marine Corps. I went in 1971, got out in 76, spent it in 82 to 88.
So?
You have freedoms in this country that you would never have in any other country in the world. You better be proud of what you've got. In the United States of America, you can have your games. You can go out with your friends. If you're any of the countries that I've seen in this world, you wouldn't even be able to have a video game, a TV, or even pop in your house. You think that playing this game is so important, why don't you go out and do something constructive, like help somebody put a house up for somebody like the homeless, or build a shelter for something to go out, but your freedoms to play a game, you can do that on Saturday, you can do it on Sunday, you can do it after school.
See,
that has nothing
freedom
to do with Veterans Day.
They don't give me freedom because they won't let me play. They won't let us take Friday off.
You don't need Friday off because you need to get your education so you can do something good with your life instead of sitting around there being a skateboarder the rest of your life or whatever you do. Whatever your choice is, that's fine. But your games can be done on weekends. School is very important. You need your education so you can go on with life.
Well, how come we're taking off tomorrow?
If it hadn't been for the veterans, we wouldn't have anything in this country. The veterans are the ones that made it. They went to the wars. They've made it so we have a country that's respected.
Yeah, now I got to look at my mom and everything and her
so we can
friends.
Do.
All right, listen, Alan, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
On the line with me is Justin McElroy, a high school junior. Halo 2, the video game from Microsoft, the Xbox game, is, you know, I'd be interested in playing this game too, Justin. I'm just curious. You are demanding Friday off at your high school so the kids can get into this game because you say it's a major cultural event. You've also, in a very frightening way, referred to Columbine. And I just want to know...
No, I didn't refer to it. I said that the kid came into our student prefect meeting...
No, you said a sub-freshman came in with Columbine clippings as if to scare one of the teachers.
Well, yeah, and I didn't agree with it. But also, you can't not say to a kid, well, you don't get to do this or whatever because, like those Columbine kids, they were crazy, okay? But, I mean...
But what?
Well, I just, you know, we want Friday off, and also, you know, my mom...
See, that's another thing. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Well, that's what you've been doing with all your callers and stuff.
All right, I'm sorry, man. But the fact is, you keep bringing your mother into this.
Because my mom, you know...
Do you love her?
Yeah, I love my mom.
But you're speaking disparagingly of her.
Because her friends and her are beasts. I mean, you know...
What do you mean by beasts?
Well, they all think they're hot. They're like 50 or something, or my mom's like 42, but they all think they're hot looking, and you know, I'm sitting there, I'm trying to read or whatever, because nobody will let me play a video game, and I've done my homework, and my mom will come in with her friends who, you know, have these clothes on that are gross, and they look gross, and they're sort of sex beasts, you know, they just, you know, go out to the mall, or they go out to these meetings that they have, you know, like some kind of a women's club or whatever they do, and they all think they're, you know, so hot, and they most of my friends want to get sick when they see them and everything like that, and so they need to give us Friday off because it's wrong to expose us to this kind of skank without giving us a day off and stuff.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Debbie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi,
Debbie.
Am I on?
Yes, ma'am.
Justin, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, if you'll let me answer it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
What do you plan on doing after college?
I want to go
after high school. Do you plan on going to college?
Yeah.
What do you plan on studying?
Marine biology.
Marine biology.
Yeah.
Okay, and
what did you study?
My dear, I didn't go to college.
Why is it important for you to know whether I go to college?
Because I don't think the issue here is about Veterans Day versus your game. I think the issue here is respect. And I think you need to learn a little bit of respect.
I do.
As a young man, there is a lot to life more than a video game.
There's a lot to life more than Veterans Day. But
this is not about Veterans Day.
Yeah, it is. They say that Kennedy got assassinated.
This is about...
How old are you?
As a young man, I'm 44 years old.
Okay, can I ask you something? Do you have, like, kids?
I have a son that's in Iraq now.
Okay.
I have a daughter that's 22 that's in the National Guard. And I have a 15-year-old.
Do you walk around the house all skank and everything?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Like, have you ever had a breast job? Because like all of my mom's friends, it's gross.
All right.
Well, young man, that
yeah, you know,
that's a family issue problem here. But I it's like I said when I was on hold.
Walking around drinking wine.
Well, no. This is about the family,
yeah.
And that's the problem in this country today. If I tell my son,
you can see everything in the pants they wear and stuff.
Well, it's not about that. If I tell you as a parent that your butt is going to school on Friday, your butt is going to school.
Okay, but when you're talking about, you can't say that to me while you're standing there wearing pants so tight. I can see everything.
This is not about what your mother wears.
I don't think it's right to be sexually abusing me like that.
Wait a minute, kid. Hold on. Just because...
Well, look, how can you tell a kid you got to go to school while you're standing there wearing pants so tight you can see everything?
This is an issue you need to discuss with your parents. Does your mom know that you're on the show right now talking about her like that?
Well, I don't really have to check with her because I'm at the arcade right now.
No, but that's a good question.
What time is it where you are?
9:30.
9:30?
Yes, ma'am.
At 9 o'clock at night, your butt should be at home.
Well,
okay, I don't care how old you are.
You're not my mom.
It doesn't matter. If I were your mom, you wouldn't have a face right now.
What? What does that mean?
You would not. My hand would go right across your face.
Oh, yeah, while you're wearing pants that show your butt crack and everything?
About that. I don't wear pants that show my butt crack, okay? But this is about respect.
Well,
okay?
I do have respect.
Obviously, you don't. If you're demanding Friday off and you're telling the school that if you don't get Friday off, something's going to happen.
No,
I
didn't.
That young man that brought in that Columbine pictures, I hope he's not at school right now. I mean, I hope they suspend young butt.
He was just trying to send a message to Mr. Porter.
What message?
For less than that.
What message? You know the terrorist threats are a federal law violation?
God, spit it out, why don't you?
I did spit it out, kid. Do you know that making a terrorist threat is a violation of federal law?
Well, he didn't make a terrorist threat. He was just trying to send a subtle message.
Bringing in Columbine clippings.
That young man should be in jail, sir.
Look, all we're asking for is a day off, just like the veterans get to have a day off. And I don't understand it. And just like Kennedy got assassinated, everybody says that's a big thing. Okay, fine. I'm not saying it wasn't. I don't get it. But why can't we do Halo? Because it's important to us. And people, like, I don't know how old you are, but they all say that Woodstock is a big thing. Woodstock looked like a bunch of drug addicts laying in mud, and it was disgusting. So why can't I play Halo in the privacy of my home after I've taken a bath? Okay? And yet... My mom and her friends who say Woodstock was so cool, and they walk around showing their butt cracks, and I can't play Halo, and I'm not showing crack to nobody.
You got an answer for this, Debbie? Because I'm all out of answers.
This young man has some desperate issues.
No, you guys don't have no answers.
This is
you don't have any answers.
This
is
with the family. I have answers, young man. And if you were my son, you would not be on the show talking the way you're talking.
Well,
okay.
I wouldn't be talking the way I'm talking if my mom would say...
No, because you would be at home in your room asleep now.
Well, I have to remind you, I'm
you
a junior class president.
You will not be out playing video games at 9:30, 10 o'clock.
It's a school night, man. It's a school night.
No, it's not. Tomorrow's Veterans Day. But
no, it is tomorrow Veterans Day, Chris?
Do you enjoy Christmas vacation?
Pardon me?
Do you enjoy Christmas?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy Christmas vacation?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy summer vacation?
Oh, well, let me just answer yeah to all the vacation questions.
Okay, well, let me tell you something. Those veterans that are celebrating tomorrow and those veterans that are over there in Iraq right now, well, they are dying so that you have that right.
Well, what about what Halo...
Christmas vacation and they
what is,
that you have
what,
that right.
What about what
exactly,
Halo 2
so
has
you
done?
You have the right to play that game.
Well, what about
okay?
what Halo 2 has given to everybody? And,
yes.
and our generation wouldn't have anything to be happy about if Microsoft hadn't come up with it.
Okay. Look, Debbie.
Okay.
Well, look at kid. You know, you want to say something dumb, I'm going to react that way. Debbie, thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
1-800-449-8686. Dave, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Justin McElroy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've had... I don't know. You're...
Look, dude,
you
don't put
need
the bottle
an extra
down,
day
man.
Off. You want to play your games... Play it on Veterans Day. You already got that day off.
How come you're drinking?
Oh, I'm driving a truck, you dummy. I'm not drinking.
Well, it sounds like you've been drinking or something.
Why don't you have a little respect for the caller, okay? You don't know anything about him.
Yeah, you don't.
Hey, how come they get to have Veterans Day off?
I don't get Veterans Day off. I never have.
Well,
because I'm not a federal, state,
yeah, but
county,
you know
city employee... school teacher, librarian, or a banker.
Yeah,
I don't
also, the reason why you don't get the day off is because you drive a beer truck.
As for your friend...
I bet you'd like to smack me.
As for your friend that brought the Columbine literature to school, yeah, he'd get the day off. He'd get 30 days in a row off he'd have to make up after the school year.
What are you talking about?
Your little friend that brought the Columbine literature to school.
He was just sending a message to the adults that...
Yeah, I sent a message to him, give him 30 days off, that he's got to make up at the end of the school year.
He'd be suspended.
Well, yeah.
Well, okay, but see, you're lucky. You're just driving around out there with wine coolers in the back. What do you care?
I wish it was wine coolers.
Well, if you've played Halo 2, you'd understand what I'm saying. You should stop off at a truck stop where they have a lot of the good games and play it.
They don't have it in truck stops.
Don't interest me.
Well,
between Seattle and Portland, there ain't a whole lot of truck stops that I want to stop at.
Are you kidding? You're driving between Seattle and Portland? God, I feel sorry for you.
Hey, pay
right.
the bill.
All right, listen, Dave, thank you very much, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but keep on trucking, Pops.
Yeah, Pops, I'll pop to you.
Don't bend over for the soap.
Hey, you know what? You got a real smart mouth on you, kid.
Well, people are calling up with stupid stuff that they're saying. And they're boring.
Boring, huh? They're saying stuff about...
I'm just saying, we got to have Friday off for Halo 2. I got friends coming over for a fest and everything.
Here is Aubrey. Aubrey, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, hi.
Hi,
I just
Aubrey.
Wanted to tell... Justin is his name?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Justin. I want to tell you I totally agree with you I understand where you're coming from when
Thank
you're
you,
saying
finally.
That, you know, you felt uncomfortable at home with your mom.
Right.
And that, you know, she makes you feel uncomfortable. Well, that's great. But you're 16, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Aubrey,
yeah.
And I just served about 4 years in the United States Army. And I'm not going to get on you like all the other veterans, but what I'm going to tell you is what I experienced over in Iraq, okay?
Uh-huh, okay.
Is I was there
Did you see
watching...
anybody dead?
What's that?
Did you see dead guys and stuff? Or
You know, don't say it like that, please, because that's hard. That's you know, hard.
Well, no, I don't mean like dead Americans.
You know,
I
flew on, you know, a helicopter where we, you know.
Did you see a dead raghead?
Look, let the lady talk, all right? Let her talk.
You know, I'm not going to give you what you want to hear. But
no,
what,
no,
I
just
want to
know.
Tell you, I understand.
Did they make
I
you wear a burqa?
I understand the point where you don't feel comfortable with your mom, okay?
Did they make you wear a burqa?
You know what? You're 16 years old. If you can earn your own living and earn your own home, then you have the right to speak about your mother like that. She has earned the right to have a home and tell you what to do in that home and act any way she wants. When you can earn your own money and your own living and get on your own, then, you know, do it. But You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but I mean,
okay, but, okay, so what do you do for a job right now?
Okay, so she'll get a glass of white wine and wear these big high heels, and then when she sits down, you can see crack.
I don't care. To be honest with you, I don't care. There are so many resources out there. If she was honestly being a bad mother, then it would be taken care of.
You're not. He's not being abused. His mother probably dresses very contemporary.
You know what?
And like a lot of women in their 40s, they take care of themselves and they look beautiful, and you think she looks like a skank.
You know, whatever his delusion is, his excuse, whatever it is.
Hey, Aubrey, did you wear a turban?
Listen, how do you pay for the game? How do you pay for the game that you're about to get, Halo 2?
I already bought it. I put money down for it 2 years ago. We put a deposit on
How'd you put money down for that? You were what, 2 years ago? So you were four,
My mom gave me the money, but I watered plants.
Right there.
No,
you
wait a second. I watered plants.
I watered plants. No, I have another thing.
No, wait a second.
You
didn't hear what I said. I watered the plants in the house to pay her back.
You know what? Spend a weekend over in Iraq with children who do not have shoes. Okay.
Why would I want to do that?
When children stand in front of a Humvee ready to risk their lives saying that they're hungry.
Well, that sounds stupid. I'm not going to do that. Did you have to wear a turban when you were over there or anything?
You know what? That's none of your business.
You know what, kid? Good Lord.
I'm just asking if she wore a turban.
Okay, fine. Don't go to Iraq. Go down to Mexico. Why don't you go down to Mexico and go ask
someone who is the same age as
you. Ask them if they even know what an Xbox is.
You know what? I want to go to TJ so bad because there's a friend of mine. What are you talking about? I have a friend of mine whose dad is like a Mexican, like he owns a business. They got Xbox and everything. Hey, I want to go to TJ so bad because apparently they got like donkeys and stuff, but I don't want to talk about it because you're a lady, but...
Will you get off of that, man? You've had this lady has shown her nothing
boy,
but... And
I've
she
seen
was
re- more than you probably will ever see in your life, okay?
Did you, when you were in Iraq, did you see any of them snake charmers?
All right. Justin, you're not going to get Friday off.
You know
off.
What? Take the day off tomorrow.
Yeah. Take
the day off for Halo 2.
Right.
But you know what? Pay the consequences. That's one thing.
Did you carry a gun?
This generation is not learning. Pay the consequences. If you take the day off.
This is a great generation. You know, this generation's represented by you, Aubrey. I always say the best people we got are over there.
You know,
what about me?
You're just a jerk off.
People like him. There are so many. I mean, my husband and I.
Got to watch that language.
Did she see that Sodom guy over there? Or?
Will you shut up? Justin McElroy, a real meathead. Halo 2 is out. You know, I don't blame the lady for using the F word. Aubrey, I just want you to know I don't blame you. Because today, people feel that it isn't really an objectionable word. We're living under a very antiquated system, an extremely antiquated system, whereby normal American colloquialisms are not allowed on the radio. If you can believe this, normal colloquial reference is not allowed on the radio. No wonder satellite radio is going to become huge. People want to talk like adults. And this imbecilic Federal Communications Commission decency guidelines that they cannot define, that they cannot constitutionally defend handing down, and that no radio company in America has got the guts to challenge, this whole thing is going to be a fruit stand in about 5 years when satellite radio becomes the norm for American radio listeners. I had to dump out that perfectly good call because the lady used the F word, not in any overtly offensive way. She was quoting something that was said in the mall. But I got to dump it. Because you know what? We're not grown-ups here. Everybody listening out there, all you guys, how does it feel to know you're not a grown-up? You're not grown-up enough. And don't tell me there might be kids listening, for God's sake. By the time a kid is 14, he knows every single one of those words. Oh, my God.
Do you think she had to wear a turban?
Will you get him out of here? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Tomorrow night we got Doug Danger, the gay man and gay journalist. Just a news note for you. I don't know whether you're aware of this, but France has death taxes, and this is very true. There is a death tax whereby if you die in France, they get a piece of your estate. That's why you see all of Picasso's art hanging in Paris, even though Picasso himself was a Spaniard. He died, he was residing in France at the time he died. Not if it's going to apply to Arafat, but it might, which means if that holds with Arafat, then France now owns like a third of Palestine. So, hey, all right. That'll be worth something to them frogs. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. phs@philhenryshow.com is our email. And www.philhenryshow.com, where you can get the best of the 2004 CD, Fahrenheit 7-Eleven, is our web address.
Show 1-800-449-8686.